I hope everyone hears me. So, my name is Roman Kosaiko. I'm from Lingnan University and from Hong Kong. And today I'll speak about the juror eight or the jurors or the juror. This is it depends. Like there are various titles for this particular film. And I'll speak about the remaking and cultural appropriations of the Western judicial traditions made in this film. So a little bit about me. I'm doing my PhD. I'm writing my PhD dissertation at Lingnan University, at Department of Digital Arts and Creative Industries. I was previously a lawyer, and while I was in Shanghai Theatre Academy, I was proposed by my supervisor to write about something related to films and related to the law. To law. So that's why the 12 Angry Men from 1957 by Sidney Lumet was proposed, and I started working and making research about that and about that re those remakes. And later on, when I started my PhD dissertation, I realized it's a very interesting topic about how remakes work in general, especially transnational film remakes. So this was just like a first break of my dissertation a long time ago when I was in Shanghai Theatre Academy. But my legal career helped me to understand better what is going on in these research papers. So in this presentation, I will present the overview about the Sidney Lumet's 12 Angry Men from 1957 and other remake examples. Then I will move to Hong Seung-hwan's Juror 8 and like explain the general like the general directions and how the film is created and what are the most important features of the film. Then I'll present the comparative table and information about the South Korean juror system versus Japan and the United States. Then Juror 8 formal contextual analysis and comments on remaking and creation of some kind of anthology franchise. And closing remarks at the end. Let's try to be brief. Juror 8 is based on Sidney Lumet's 12 Angry Men, and the film was shot in 19 was released in 1957, and it's actually a remake, or you may call it an adaptation of the 1954 TV film. So, 1957 film became the iconic and the most known on the issue of probably the jury and the execution of the right to be the juror, but upon the release, the film failed financially. Badly. So it took maybe around 10 years for this film to become recognized by the community and by the filmmakers and theatergoers. So the film is known for its stage design because most of the film, the majority of the film is shot in one single jury room. It was done deliberately because they wanted to reduce the production costs, and also the room was constructed in a special way with the removable walls, so it would be easier to shoot everyone. There are several scenes in the film, court interior, exterior at the beginning and at the end. Cast, of course, Henry Fonda as the main lead. He was the face of this film and the face of the production. He was a producer, and after releasing the film, he told that he would never be a producer again in his life. Yeah, also he didn't get his fee because the film failed, but he got it several years later. So most of the participants of like all participants in this film in this panel are males, and the cast consisted only mostly from the theater, from people from actors with a theater background. Also, of course, they were acting in films too. Cinematography is notable. It was made by Boris Kaufman, and it utilized specific idea of using the high angles and the wide lens and closer to the climax of the film, long lens to kind of squeeze the space between the characters and the lower angles to provide more attention. There are many remakes produced based on 12 Angry Men and many adaptations in theaters. So one of the most notable ones is 12, The Gentle 12, based on the Kokimitani's script. It's a parody, 12 Angry Men, Gentle 12, 12 Gentle Japanese, or like to be literal. So, and this film tries to play with the ideas pulled from 12 Angry Men, but they shift significantly the narrative, because in the original, it's a boy presumably murdering his father. Here, it's an ex-wife presumably murdering her ex-husband. Of course, female characters are presented in the film, and here the dynamics are very interesting in discussion. Also, the majority of the film was made in one single room. And in 1991, when the film was released, there was no jury trial in Japan back then. There is another film, quite famous maybe, from Russia, 12, by Nikita Mikhalkov, utilized most of the ideas of Sidney Lumet and adjusted them for the contemporary Russian audience, 2007. Also, recontextualize some of the films of the original film's context. There is another one, Xia Gongmin, 12 Citizens by Xu Ang, released in 2014. Also very loyal to the source material, and have various references to the Russian remake. The difference between this one and the previous ones is that it's a mock jury, because there is no classic jury system in the Chinese judiciary. So that's why they were using this university law school experiment, law college experiment. And parents participated in these experiments, and they are supposed to be the jurors. So, of course, Juror 8. Juror 8 was released in 2019, and it's a very dramatically changed film from the source material, with a very significant changes in the cinematography, in the narrative, and in the whole contextual landscape that is presented in this film. But first things first, I'll introduce you a little bit about the jury system in South Korea, Japan, the US. In the US, we most of us know that it's a jury, 12 people in the jury panel. They should bring out the unanimous decision. It's the verdict. The verdict is binding. There are like serious cases, especially related to homicide, that could be tried by jury. And there's a very long history of jury development in the United States, because it's based on Anglo-Saxon law family. In Japan, they had previously the traditions of jury prior to Second World War, but then they were suspended because of the war. And in Japan, they adopted the system that is not actually called jury; it's called saibanin, or lay judges. So they're kind of part of the they're kind of judge helpers or judge advisors. So they try the case together with the judges, and then they discuss the case, and then they bring out the decision together. So it's based on the German system. The system requires this kind of particular judiciary for some crimes, and the majority of votes is enough, but they need at least one professional judge. They're negotiating about and whether to make these decisions binding or not. In South Korea, jury system doesn't have previous historical background. It was announced before 2007, but it was implemented in 2007 Korean Jury Act. The crimes it depends, and the never the like usually the serious crimes, of course, and the number of jurors depends on the complexity of the case. Unanimous majority doesn't really matter, but the point is that the judge can actually dismiss the verdict of the jury, and when the defendant applies for this type of procedure through the jury, also the court can just dismiss this application. So all of these systems have something in common, that the jury is in decline. It's just gradual decline throughout the years. So in Juror 8, unlike the source material, there are very many different stage design solutions with the various locations: court exterior, interior, jury room, the flashbacks, it's telling more about the defendant, the workplaces of the jurors, some of the jurors, and so on and so on and so on. So it's just It the film just left something that this film left the jury room. There is more space, there is more freedom of characters. So that's why it has advantages, but at the same time, it has disadvantages, because it doesn't create this kind of tense atmosphere in the room as was in source material. But the tension is made using a narrative and using, of course, some other techniques. Cinematography, like variety of tools, like the Dutch angle on the screenshot, like the low, high angles, close-ups, different, usually like they use the standard lens in deep space to pinpoint what is going on and what kind of face expressions different characters have, and so on and so on. Of course, the cast part, you're seeing the singer and the drama actor. It was his first theatrical film. It was his debut. He was very nervous. He admitted that. And Munsori, I think she plays Judge Kim, and she doesn't need to be introduced properly because everybody knows her. Yeah, so the narrative, I think, underwent severe changes because there is a lot of emphasis on the defendant in the source material. We know barely nothing about the defendant, only saw like brief, like for 3 seconds, the boy. But here, the defendant is the cripple, middle-aged man, having a daughter, single father, living with his elderly mom. So he was accused of murdering his own mother. So this film shows a lot of background about this guy and what is going on, what was going on in his family, and some flashbacks. At the same time, the narrative is concentrated mostly on the Parking Six character, Juror 8, and Munsori as the judge. So there is this kind of triangle, and the film is trying to utilize this story from the points of these three characters. Of course, the defendant is more passive because he's independent, but the judge and juror eight as the so-called leader of the, at some point, of the jury panel, they are the central figures that drive the narrative. At the same time, the film utilizes some of the anchoring points of the source material. The jury panel introduction, then the whole conversation, discussion, and debate about the guilt starts with the murder weapon, same as in the source material. Then it's the recreation or like experimentation with the crime scene, same thing as this in the source material, like direct reference. Fourth, it's the climactic resolution of and the verdict bring out by the jury. But of course, after that, there is some gap in what is going on. The film explains more of the impact of the jury's verdict. There are very different contexts. If the source material and other subsequent remakes is always about, oh, the son presumably murders his father so bad. Here, it's the son presumably murdering his mother. There's a like, this motive of mother and son relations is very significant, I think, in the South Korean cinema. Always, there are some references to that. Then, as I mentioned earlier, single fatherhood, welfare state, how the society and how the state treats like this kind of people. Is there any help by the social welfare system for the cripples and for the disabled people? Are they disconnected from the rest of the society? Then, of course, the pension system, the aging population, the difficulties related to that. And one of the most important one is the justice system and whether it's fair or not. Like in this film, Judge Kim was a female was picked as the judge to run the first historical case with the jury. And if something goes right, of course, yeah, she's a part of our system. Everything's great. If something goes wrong, she can just throw it out on the bus. So this kind of element of maybe predetermined decision making on maybe not very just system of justice in general, which is interesting to say. Yeah, also like here you can see like I expect a positive picture. It means the case that they picked was supposed to be very easy to judge and easy to condemn, like the defendant. But of course things went wrong. So it's really based on the scholarly debate that's of the emergence of the jury system in South Korea in general, that it was supposed to bring some understanding and some better just to clean maybe clear the reputation of the South Korean justice system, but it actually didn't. Yeah, at the end, there is some closing remarks in the film that, oh, this case was one like in 2008, and usually the jury acquits the defendants more often than usual, but it's just part of the truth. But I'll just like the rest I'll re reveal at the end in the closing remarks. So in overall, in general, this film is a very delicate balance between the novelties and the fidelity. So in this film, they try to maintain like the direct function one. They try to maintain the particular level of familiarity to the source material, like this anchoring points of the narrative, and the overall story is recognizable and following the same trajectory. It's not going backwards or so on. But at the same time, there are so many different like contexts that were not existent in the original film. Also, the various stylistic choices and aesthetic choices are different. At the same time, there are no direct references in these film to the source material. There is no introduction that based on this in the end credits scene, nothing like that. Only in the interview, I found that the director actually watched the film and tried to recreate this idea, which makes this remake as like highlighted in Druxman's taxonomy and by many different other scholars like Professor Verus. It's like the disguised remake. This remake is trying to disguise itself as a remake, but at the same time, not doesn't disguise it very well. So now speaking about the remaking franchise and the network. So there is a particular idea that some of the films they create some kind of entertainment super systems. For example, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or like some very big franchises that we all know, because they expand themselves like through like beyond the filmic medium to other mediums and also the merchandising songs like presented by Marsha Kinder in 1991. But in this particular case, the 12 Angry Men doesn't really create any kind of super system. It creates a system of titles, but they're all disconnected, basically. They are connected only to the source material and not even to 1954 telefilm, but to 1957 theatrical release. They don't quote each other. There is no references to each other, basically almost no references. But even if there are, this reference can be downplayed by just like, oh, I just made this flashbacks because it's now a common thing to do in the cinema. Oh, it was like another 2007 remake, but it doesn't really matter because it's just cool to show more backstory about the defendant, something like that. So these films are disconnected from each other. They don't create the network. They are not actively engaged with the other remakes. The only engagement is to the source material. 12 Angry Men. Yeah. So next, some closing remarks. Yeah. It was very interesting that in 2019, upon the release of the film, I found the news that the actors they were rushing, presumably rushing to the premiere. They made an illegal U-turn, and then they were caught. And that's why it was like the audience and the public was like arguing, "You're supposed to be jurors, like bringing them justice, and you're doing this kind of things, violate the law." At the same time, the film Juror 8 didn't get many awards. It wasn't very. It doesn't give the impression that it was recognized widely by critics and by audience in general. It has positive reviews. Parking Six like awards for acting. Yeah, he got several awards, but at the same time, the film was poorly presented on the festivals, in the film festivals, maybe because in 2019 all the attention was in the Parasite, Bong Joon-ho's Parasite. I don't know. It's hard to judge, but probably the situation with the jury didn't really change significantly in South Korea after the release of that film. It was the number of cases tried by jury was gradually declining since the announcement of the reform and since its implication. So 2011, 51% of cases. Yeah, now 12% of cases. So it means the judges and the justice system tends to return back to its normalcy, quote unquote. That means they don't really, any professional community any judge community, any prosecutors and law enforcement community, they don't really like jury, because jury is some kind of element of public and element that intervenes in this closed systems with particular rules and particular set of rules and expectations. So that's why now, like, the more it's gradually the judges, they tend to refuse the defense the right to get the jury to have their case heard by jury. So that's why I think the future of jury is not very bright. At the same time, the problem is that the public awareness is not rising. So people roughly know about the jury, but they don't know in particular how it is, what it is, what do you do there, what kind of cases, do they want to be part of this system, or if they get the summons, will they participate or not? So I think there is a lot to work with in South Korea, especially the South Korean justice system, if they want to improve the awareness and if they want to improve the popularity, like if done through these cinematic tools, using these cinematic tools, it's not enough. And that was it from me. Thank you very much for your attention. And yeah, ready for questions.